we have one confirmed fatality, and the other is not confirmed.
An avalanche outside of Haines kills one and leaves another on life support. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. An avalanche outside of Haines has killed one heli-ski guide and left a client on life support. 35-year-old Rob Lieberman of Telluride, Colorado, was guiding a group of five skiers for Chilkat Valley Company Alaska Heli-Skiing when the avalanche broke around 11 a.m. Tuesday. It buried him and 26-year-old Nikolai Dodov of Truckee, California. Lieberman is confirmed dead, and Dodov was on life support at the Haines Clinic Tuesday afternoon, awaiting transport to the Harborview Hospital in Seattle. Next of kin has been notified, says Alaska State Trooper Josh Bentz.
The avalanche actually was on Taquin Ridge on a run that they call Swanies.
The avalanche happened at a backcountry ski area northwest of Haines that skiers access by helicopter. The two men were heli-skiing when the slide occurred and were buried about 7 feet under the snowy debris. Klahini Valley and Haines fire departments responded to the scene, as did other skiers via helicopter shuttle, state parks, wildlife troopers, and Trooper Bentz.
Two people were receiving CPR, and they were able to get them out of the snow and transport it back one was transported back to 33 Mile, the other was transported to the Haines Clinic. And we have one confirmed fatality, and the other is not confirmed.
The avalanche occurred on Taquin Ridge, about 20 air miles northwest of Haines, and near a helipad used by skiers at mile 33 on the Haines Highway. The remaining ski party located the two missing men using avalanche beacon equipment.
One patient was transported to Haines via helicopter. The other one was transported via helicopter to 33 Mile Roadhouse, where he was transported by ambulance to the Haines Clinic.
Other skiers said Rob had gone down the run first, with five clients following. Then the avalanche broke as seventh skier Nikolai followed last. Skiers called it a massive avalanche, with a 6-foot crown breaking the slab at the top of the avalanche track. The helicopter was still overhead at the time and relanded to help unload skiers for the recovery. They added that Rob was found with a glove off and a radio in his hand, which indicated to fellow skiers that he had found a safe spot and was radioing to the chopper. The surviving victim is being transported to Seattle. No other injuries were reported in the accident, and all skiers are accounted for. Although this winter has been a deadly avalanche season in the lower 48, this could be the first avalanche fatality in Alaska this season. The city of Hoonah is feeling pressure from cruise lines and local native village corporation Hoonah Totem to build a multi-million dollar dock at the corporation's popular Icy Strait Point tourist destination. The Hoonah City Council wants the dock located on city land a quarter mile from the facility, and so far has refused to give in to the company's demands. The state-funded project can't move forward until the dispute is resolved. Casey Kelly has more.
Hoonah Totem Corporation approached the city of Hoonah last year with a proposal to partner on a new dock. It would serve cruise ships during the summer and other vessels, such as barges, state ferries, and Coast Guard boats, year-round. Marlene Duvall is Hoonah's city administrator.
With Hoonah Totem, the city added this project to its capital improvements projects list and designated it a community priority.
The project received $17 million in last year's state capital budget, a large amount for the Chichagof Island Village of 750 residents, located about 40 air miles west of Juneau. Two sites were identified in the original request, one at Icy Strait Point, a former fish plant turned tourist stop owned by Hoonah Totem, and another called Outer Point or Cannery Point, just north of the facility. Duvall says the city hired P&D engineers to analyze those locations, and a third site on city land about 1,000 feet south of Hoonah Totem's property.
If you were to line up a cruise ship, a 1,000-foot cruise ship, at each one of these proposed locations, you know, bow to stern, they would essentially touch each other.
Last September, the Hoonah Council unanimously chose the third site, known as Shaman Point, citing better access for freight vessels. Craig Millen, Senior Vice President for Royal Caribbean Cruises, wrote the city expressing concerns about the location. Millen said if Shaman Point led to increased costs for Royal Caribbean and its customers, the company would continue the current practice of anchoring ships offshore and tendering passengers to Icy Strait Point. Thanks to a deal with Huna Totem, Royal Caribbean and its subsidiary, Celebrity Cruises, account for more than 80% of Huna's ports of call. Millen's letter caught the attention of Scott Ruby, director of the State Division of Community and Regional Affairs, the agency responsible for administering Huna's $17 million grant.
If the cruise industry says they're not going to use it, the majority of the operation and maintenance money for this would come through landing taxes on the cruise industry. So that indicates a problem.
Ruby says the state also has concerns about the two sites backed by Huna Totem and the cruise lines. The engineering analysis showed problems with those locations in terms of dock lifespan and access for other uses.
We're just trying to make sure that whatever gets built is going to be used by the cruise industry and is also available as a multi-use dock.
Last month, two legislators whose districts include Huna, Representative Bill Thomas and Senator Albert Kukesh, went to the community to meet with the city council about the project. The meeting quickly turned contentious, as heard in this exchange between Senator Kukesh and Councilman Chris Erickson.
Just sounds to me like we're having a hammer held over our heads, that we either got to do this, or we're not going to have it. And that, I disagree with that.
What's the hammer? You think Bill and I are threatening you?
That's my impression, that we're hearing that if we don't go for A or B, that we're not going to have it.
Yes.
Kukesh says he and Thomas did not go to the meeting to pressure the council. He says their only goal was to make sure a dock gets built in Huna.
In the meeting, I said, why don't you guys sit down and talk? Why don't the Huna Totem sit at this end of the table, the City of Huna Council right here, and the cruise ships right there, and you guys decide. I don't care where you build it.
Huna Totem CEO Larry Gaffney declined an on-tape interview, but Icy Strait Point director Johan Dibdahl was at the same meeting as Kukesh and Thomas, where he said the Village Corporation was not allowed to comment during the City Council's selection process.
So we had no chance to say anything about this report done by P&D.
On February 28th, Community and Regional Affairs Director Ruby notified the city of the state's decision to put the grant on hold. Duval says Huna Mayor Seferino Villarreal responded a day later that the council's decision was made in the best interests of the public.
The city's decision on location hasn't wavered at all. They're still in agreement, and it's unanimous that Shaman Point is the location for the facility.
Ruby has not responded to the mayor's letter. Huna Totem officials did meet last week with the city's Planning and Zoning Commission, which unanimously backed the city council. Duval says another meeting with the council and the corporation may be scheduled, but she did not know when. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
Sport fishermen need to watch their step. Starting this year, footwear with fibrous material on the soles are prohibited while sport fishing in Alaska freshwater. The regulation was adopted by the Alaska Board of Fisheries in 2010 to cut down on the spread of invasive species. Felt soles, sometimes used by fishermen for better stability in the water, can pick up those hitchhiking outsider life forms and quietly bring them to the next fishing hole.
Some specific aquatic organisms that we're worried about are this stuff called Didymosphenia geminata, also known as rock snot or Didymo.
Haynes Rich Chapel is in the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Sport Fish Division.
It's kind of an algae that coats the bottom of streams, and it can smother out all benthic life, which would lead to really reduced production of fish in these waters.
Rock snot does inhabit the Northern Lynn Canal, although biologists are uncertain whether it has always been here or was brought here by anglers who might or might not have been wearing felt shoes.
It does occur in several streams in the Haynes area, but it doesn't appear to be a problem. I think just the cold water temperatures are keeping it in check.
However, it is a problem south of here, where big carpeting blooms of rock snot have smothered some trout fisheries out. British Columbia, Vancouver, and New Zealand have had problems in some of their clear gravel-bottom streams that look a lot like ours.
They did do one study where they tracked the spread of this Didymo, this rock snot, from one starting location to a bunch of different streams down on Vancouver Island, and they were able to correlate that with the spread of the steelhead fishery. You know, as anglers moved to new waters to catch steelhead, this organism went with them.
The Board of Fisheries is also concerned about the arrival of other invasives, like New Zealand mud snails, quagga mussels, and whirling disease, which have not so far appeared locally.
But we're hoping that banning felt soles will prevent these organisms from showing up in Alaska waters.
Chapel is not just educating the public on the rule change. He's one of the fish guys who has switched from felt soles to rubber-soled waders and has retired his felt footies. He says there's gear out there, some available at local sports shops, that can adequately replace the felt-soled gear, known for their grip on smooth and slippery surfaces.
They actually work as well in muddy or snowy conditions. You don't get the stuff caked up on the bottom of your feet like you do with felt soles. In some very slippery cases, like walking on slippery logs, I would recommend getting some little screw-in studs that you can screw into these rubber bottom soles.
The regulation only affects sport fishermen for now, but next year will go into effect for hunters who might use felt soles to travel through streams. Other ways to minimize the spread of invasive species include cleaning any gear or equipment that comes in contact with the water, emptying water at the fishing area, drying gear between fishing spots, and decontaminating gear by freezing, washing in hot water, or mildly bleaching. For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.